interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, February 20 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Only 90 minutes today, half of a usual B2BS, so you know we are ready to roll. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, live from the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big, too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We've got one full hour coming at you and one guest in it. Brian Snow, 247 Sports, national look at college basketball. A national look at what LSU is doing, 14 of 15 in the win column. And, of course, a preview of North Carolina at Duke tonight, a game that is garnering ticket prices even north of what this most recent Super Bowl did. Impressive. Brian Snow will be with us at 4:30. As I mentioned, only half of our 5 o'clock hour. Shay Dixon is coming aboard, and Clint liked the way that I promoted that. Earlier today and throughout the day on the station, my guess is, if he had to put a finger on it, that he probably could. I might be wrong. Maybe he couldn't put a finger on it. What is that now?
What?
There it is. So it was in the promo all day. I know. It's not Tuesday. It's Wednesday. You'll get Shay Dixon at 5, and you'll live with it. We're going to be full on recruiting during that segment. LSU picked up 2 commits for the class of 2020. They're now the number one recruiting class in the country. How did they do it? What's left? And how does this Louisiana crop for the 2020 cycle shake out with what we just saw in 2019? So Shay Dixon will be with us 5 o'clock, maybe 5:05. And again, we're going to dump you off today in the capable hands of Chris Blair, John Brady, LSU, Florida from the PMAC. 5:30 is the pregame show. 6 o'clock. Is tip-off from the house that Pete built. Let's get down to brass tacks. We don't have a lot of time today. But you want to get in? Talk LSU basketball. We've got time for you early. 706-0111. LSU, 21-4, 11-1 in league play. And they're about 7-point favors tonight against Michael White's team that overall has work to do. Florida at 14-11. Even Stevens, 6-6 in league play. Gators have work to do to get into the NCAA tournament. So often in the last 10 to 15 years, even going back to some of the Billy Donovan teams at the earlier part of this millennium, maybe 20 years if you go back, Florida and LSU were flip-flop. They were in different positions. The Gators, under Donovan so many years, and even recently under Michael White, have had the opportunity to cement a number 1, 2, 3, 4 seed. While LSU, under John Brady, Trent Johnson, Johnny Jones, were just scratching and clawing, and this was the point of year where LSU had to get every damn win possible. Isn't it nice to have the shoe on the other foot? LSU right now is the one playing for seeding. LSU is trying to prove that it's for real. Whether the wins at this point are quadrant one, whether they're just conference wins, who cares? Just keep stacking wins. Because so often, as I covered LSU basketball very closely for years, so often the calendar flipped from February to March, and all we were talking about is, can this team find a way to get to 20 or 21 wins? If they do that, they'll sneak in. They'll be that 9 seed, the 10 seed, maybe an 11 seed. And a number of times, it didn't go down that way. LSU perennially doesn't play very well in the SEC tournament. Maybe that changes this year in St. Louis. But usually, that's not a good situation for LSU to have to win in the conference tournament. Well, look at things right now. At 21 wins, LSU, just about everywhere you look, is a 3 or a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, tonight's an opportunity to increase what you're doing. Tonight's an opportunity to not look forward to number 5 Tennessee in the PMAC brunch on Saturday. And you can't overlook these Gators because Michael White's team is starting to play better. They've won 2 in a row. They won at Bama, 71-53. Maybe doing a little Eddie Murphy there, a little trading places with bubble teams, Florida and Bama. And I'll give you a rundown of the players to watch for Florida. I'll tell you why they're dangerous tonight. And then I'll also share where LSU's biggest advantage should be and a player that can exploit it. On the Florida side of things, it starts in the backcourt. Andrew Nimbard, freshman point guard. You've heard it all day long. He went 9 for 9 in the win over Alabama. Had 21 points. That's not typically his bag, though. He is a distribution artist. Make no bones about it. Leading the point is Nimbard, and he goes about 5.5 assists a game. That number's been up in league play. So they've got an able decision maker at the point guard position, but they're not to be confused with an explosive team that can keep up with LSU if the Tigers, in terms of pace and scoring, try to play keep away. If LSU could push this one 75-plus, I don't see how the Gators keep up. But if they find a way to, if they score above their usual clip, you're going to be crediting senior guard Kevon Allen. Just shy of 13 points a game, about 1.5 steals a game on the defensive side, and capable of blowing up. He had 30 earlier this year at Texas A&M. So the backcourt, offensively at least, tells the story for Florida. But they've got a rim protector. And defensively, LSU bigs, LSU guards taking it into the timber will have to look out for senior center Kavarius Hayes. About 2 blocks a game. So he's in Cavell Bigby Williams territory. LSU drivers, slashers, again, will have to be aware. Where Florida is strongest, and it is just a landslide, when you look at the strength of their team, it's defense. And Will Wade has talked about it this week. It's a little different. LSU has to get used to the 1-2-2 press that's coming at them tonight. And so they'll pick up a little more 3-quarters, full court, half court, than some of the others LSU's encountered recently. But Michael White's team will come at you with the press, and then in half-court defense, they're solid, if not great. 2nd in the SEC in terms of scoring defense. So it's a Florida team that knows how to lock down. That's where they're good. They're going to try to muck it up. They've held 3 teams this year under 50 points, and most of the SEC that they've encountered, they've held below their season average in terms of scoring. That's where they're strong. Now, let me tell you where they're weak. Let me tell you where the big opportunity is for LSU tonight as the Tigers are trying to get to 12-1. There are 6 games left in the SEC. The next 3 are in the PMAC. And if LSU wins tonight, yeah, it'll be because of pace, which we often talk about. But it'll really be because they exploited the offensive glass. And the Tigers this year, they've been dynamite. Credit to CBS Sports. This stat is tremendous. LSU this year has grabbed 37.1% of available offensive rebounds. When LSU shoots and it comes off the rim, they get it nearly 2/5 of the time. That percentage good enough for 8th in all of college basketball. Make no mistake, LSU is elite this year on the offensive glass. And, coincidentally, for tonight, the Gators are putrid on the defensive glass. They rank 288 in all of D1 basketball when it comes to defensive rebounding. Second chance points is the name of the game for LSU tonight, and that's why my one player to watch probably won't even start the game. Emmett Williams, who was so good in the second half at Kentucky, if Emmett Williams can bring that same energy level coming off the bench, he's got a chance to be a holy terror on the offensive glass for LSU, where the Tigers, by all accounts, should shine tonight. Don't forget, tip-off, 6 o'clock, and we're leading you right into the pregame show at 5:30. Florida at LSU? Yeah, that's pretty big stuff. UNC at Duke? Let's be honest, that's a little bigger. On the other side of this break, I've got a sink or swim question that's derived directly from the battle coming up in Durham later this evening. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Duke, North Carolina, about $2,500 tickets for real to go watch that game in Durham tonight. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. And that will make Atlanta, which just had the Rams and the Pats, blush a little bit. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. And without question, Heels, Devils, doesn't matter. Some of the coaches that maybe have cycled through on the UNC side, the guy on the other side for Duke has been constant. And they have waged a lot of just top-notch, tremendous battles. What's ironic to me, wise guys have Duke as a 9-point favorite tonight. This is number 8 at number 1 in the country. I'm thinking it's going to be closer than that. But it got us to thinking aloud, which is dangerous, so we'll make sure we loop you in here. What sporting event would you like to go to? After the music, we're going to figure out what's on your bucket list.
Exciting and new.
In honor of UNC Duke tonight, what is your bucket list sporting event / game to attend? And you'll notice that I threw event in there. Our tennis peeps, our golf peeps, we've left a good bit open for you there now, haven't we? Could even be a tournament. I've got a few answers for you. I've even got one that is retro because it'll never be again like it once was. When you're ready, give us your bucket list sporting event or game. Call 706-0111. And cards on the table. Shea Dixon and I played this game maybe a month or two ago, but we went international with it. Had a lot of golf stuff, had a lot of soccer stuff overseas. I'll keep it in line with Duke, North Carolina. I'll stay collegiate because I've got three modern-day answers for you. No question about it. I want Michigan, Ohio State. I'd probably prefer it in the shoe to the Big House, but I'll take either. Give me Michigan, Ohio State football. I want to experience that at some point. I want 100,000 plus people around me in that environment. I just want to see how they treat it different to Tiger Stadium, Bryant Denny, the Swamp, Jordan Hare. I've seen what 100K plus looks like in a lot of those places. I've seen those places on fire. I'm curious what it's like up in that part of the country, in the Midwest. That's a no-doubter for me. I'm going to tell you Florida State-Miami football, but I get to put a caveat on it. They both have to be good, which is not the case right now. I want to see Florida State-Miami football, and I'd probably prefer to see it in Tallahassee than in Coral Gables, where they could be very fickle, very fair weather. And I'll give you one more. And this is something that our next guest, Brian Snow, could probably write chapters, if not a full book about. Give me Xavier, Cincy, basketball. Don't care where. I just know they like to fight, quite physically. The games are always scrappy. They don't like one another. Their coaches seem to feed into this idea that it's okay if this turns into a ruckus, if this turns into a throwdown. And to hell with the parking lot, it's okay if it's a throwdown in between the lines, on the hardwood. So yes, selfishly, I'd like to see that as well. And Clint, here's the one where I'm going back in time a little bit. I feel nostalgic. I would like to have attended the Big East Conference Tournament in Madison Square Garden, but not the Big East that we have now. I know there are still good teams there. The reigning defending champ, Jay Wright and Villanova, hail from that conference. But it's not quite the same. They diluted the Big East. I don't have to go back in time in the DeLorean all the way to Chris Mullin. I don't have to go all the way back to Pat Ewing in the 80s. I'll take a lot of the great stuff we had in the 90s and the early 2000s. I watched so much of that on TV, I could even tell you that it was almost always sponsored by Aeropostale, which I'm not sure that anybody actually wore, but they were a part of that. And I remember that because I watched so much of it. I'll take Syracuse. I'll take St. John's. I'll take Georgetown. I wanted in my life, as often as I can get it. Sadly, we're not getting that band back together. But CD, those are some of my bucket listers. What say you?
That last one, Ben, is really, really strong. That being said, I'm going to go a little bit of a different route here. I think I'd probably would love to go to the Masters. How can you not bring up Augusta, Georgia, a tradition like any other? Just that entire weekend. I've seen enough pictures. I've seen everything in between. It just looks like an awesome like event to just go to over the course of 4 or 5 days.
You want to hear something fantastic?
Yeah.
Cousin Dino just gave me the drop on this. He will be there this year.
Again?
I don't know if he was. Was it last year or the year before?
Yeah, I believe it was last year, because last year he was pretty much dead on about him. Who was
last year, you're absolutely right. Last year he gave all of us Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was necessarily from Augusta National. He'll be not just at the practice round. Dino will be on the grounds Thursday through Sunday this year. So
I'm jealous of him.
I'm angling toward, you can see where this is going, right?
Yeah.
A live from Augusta edition of Spreadheads.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm remembering it. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Brought to you by a sports book in Mississippi, because our state, we don't do that here.
Not yet.
Yeah.
That being said,
don't hold your breath. Yeah. What else you got?
Like I said, that one I think is at the top of the list without a doubt. Augusta, the Masters, that entire weekend. And then I'm going to go a little bit outside baseball here and say Talladega Super Speedway in Alabama. How can you not say that Super Speedway going down NASCAR, be it postseason, be it a regular season for NASCAR? I think that'd just be a ton of fun.
I'll go for the party. I don't care about the activity. Not to be confused with an athletic event. That's a competition. That's not a sport.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Of course, but it's a sporting event. Let's just go with that.
It's a competition
event. Like I said, I just feel
you like... You call it semantics. I know. I have absolutely no interest in what happens with the turning of the lefts. But I will go for the party in the middle of that oval that they have. No question about it.
Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just everything about it. At Talladega, it's a bigger deal than most other venues. And then the last one I'm going to go with baseball, Red Sox, Yankees, postseason.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
I think you can't go wrong with that one.
That's pretty good. So I stayed almost entirely collegiate. In fact, I did. But I like some of the professional drops that Clint gave there. Don't be bashful. Give us yours. We showed you ours. 706-0111. All right, here's your social media response so far. Brad Newell on Twitter, Rose Bowl. Hopefully with LSU playing for the Natty Ship, but still go either way. Yeah, I kind of would like to be in that area as well. I wouldn't mind going to SoCal to check out what we all thought was coming for a while, I think in 2007 before some events led to LSU actually playing for the national championship.
Exactly, and I think Cody actually went to the Rose Bowl once.
Cody Schutz has been to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I believe so.
Dude's out there balling right now, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
In Gatlinburg on his honeymoon.
Yeah, I believe it was for TCU, Wisconsin. I'd have to hit him up about it.
I need to look into that.
I believe it was. He's mentioned to me before.
So Cody Schutz has been to the Rose Bowl. Yeah. Respect. Shame on me that I didn't mention it on Monday, but Cody Schutz, a beautiful wedding on Saturday night in Baton Rouge. His bride looked absolutely gorgeous as well. So congrats go out to Cody Schutz, except now he's on vacation and we're here. So the jealousy sets in. All right, we got at least one more. This one has come in via Twitter. Our guy Dougie Dreg, LSU versus Florida, NBR on a Saturday night for football. I mean, that's guess if you haven't been there, I'm probably a little overcomfortable because I've seen a number of those games before. So I've been there, done that.
Yeah, I think he's just saying LSU Florida because it feels like it's been forever since LSU Florida have played inside the wonderful Tiger Stadium.
Ah, now I see. Just any time LSU can host Florida. And in fact, you know, that hasn't happened at night in a while because LSU-Bama is. So, you know what? Now I'm starting to get the method behind Dougie's madness there.
At least that's what I'm thinking.
That's pretty good stuff. All right, we got a few via Facebook as well. Eric, Game 7 Stanley Cup Final. Yes. No question. The intensity there is unlike anything else that I think American professional sports has to offer in its playoff format. So I'm with you there. Our guy Mike T on Facebook, being as my wife is a New York Yankees fan and me an Atlanta Braves fan, I'd like to take her to a Yankees-Braves game at Yankee Stadium. She gets Yankees in New York and I get the Bravos. It's a win-win bucket list checkoff. See, that's the way to do it. And I don't mind telling you this. I had plans last year to go to SunTrust Park in Atlanta. Didn't work out for reasons that were kind of out of my wife and I's control. I'm putting them back on the books, and I'm getting to the A this year. I'm going to SunTrust Park. Now, all of my friends tell me The challenge is actually making it to SunTrust because they have this area, commercial area that surrounds it now called the Battery. And they said once you start bar hopping at the Battery, actually making it out to go watch an NL East baseball game feels a little secondary. So actually making it to SunTrust Park might be a little different story. But if I'm heading to Atlanta, if I'm going to Marietta, I'm going to check out some Bravos myself. Now we're going out to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Daryl, a bucket list sporting event. What you got?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I have to agree with the guy on that texted in saying that the Rose Bowl would be a great way to start off the year. I'd like to go to two different Super Bowls, one to watch the Saints and one to go where I didn't care who won just to soak in the Super Bowl thing, you know. I'd also like to see about hitting the Women's College World Series, the College World Series in Omaha, and I've always wanted to go to Wimbledon over in England. I think that would be a great fortnight, if you will.
Oh, well done.
And I think that would be a lot of fun, and U.S. Open tennis probably wouldn't be bad either.
There you go.
All right, guys, y'all have a good evening.
Hey, Daryl, you have a great night, too. I love it. That's two shows in a row that we have fit in the original meaning of Fortnite before it was an addictive game that caused kids to stop dating one another. So, yes, go watch a Fortnite of tennis across the pond. I like that. A quick correction there. I feel like Clint. The Women's College World Series is in Oklahoma City. The men are in Omaha. So if he does want to go see that WCWS, you might have to go in a different direction than Omaha.
I think he might have just rushed it out to kind of just say Women's College World Series and then the College World Series in Omaha. Kind of said it all at once. So maybe just a little lost in translation
there. Maybe he meant both, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Not bad. We got to hit a break. When we return, a destination interview. Brian Snow coming aboard. As I was as surprised with that loud Petey Pablo as you were. To a break, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back from break and ready to get to our next guest. Every Wednesday, he brings it as part of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Aboard the ARTCO Equipment Hotline, college basketball recruiting analyst for 247 Sports, Brian Snow. How are you, B. Snow?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. And before we get to LSU's next two opponents, before we get to Duke, UNC, I said moments ago, as we were talking about, I guess you would call them bucket list sporting events or games, I listed Xavier Cincinnati because I just felt something was likely to pop off. And I know you've been to a ton of those games. Is it as chippy as they come in college basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Indiana, Purdue. That's where I live now. But grew up on the Xavier-Cincinnati rivalry. What I'll say is that's a rivalry where everyone just hates each other from the top down. Like the universities, the presidents, the athletic directors, the coaches, the players. It's really it's a totally different deal. It's even more of a hatred than Ohio State and Michigan in football. It's a unique situation.
That's a strong brew of hate there. All right, let's get to tonight and then Saturday. I'll let you take us through Florida and Tennessee, the next two teams that are coming to the PMAC to take on LSU. And if you don't mind, take them both. And I guess what impresses you most about the Gators, the Volunteers, and in the process, I'm sure we'll get a little bit of a scouting report on them.
You know, with Florida, you got guys in Kayvon Allen and Jalen Hudson who are veterans who are capable of putting a team on their back. And then you have strong young players, you know, Andrew Nembhard, Noah Locke, players like that. I think they have a lot of potential firepower. Now, they haven't always put it together this year, but they have the ability to play at a high level. So they're always kind of a wild card team. And then Tennessee, I mean, I know they just got the brakes beat off of them in Lexington. But that's just going to happen sometimes. But there's so much to like with Tennessee. Grant Williams is a stud. And then, you know, Admiral Schofield's a really good player. Jordan Bones, a heck of an athlete. Jordan Bowden can really play. I think people are writing them off right now, but the reality is Tennessee is one of the elite teams in the country.
For you, has Rick Barnes always been one of the elite coaches in the country, or does he just have the right group this year in Knoxville?
I would have put him, you know, below that elite group. You know, to me, it's not a self for a Krzyzewski or a Williams or something like that. But I don't think people appreciate how consistently good he was at Texas. I mean, what was he there, like 21 years, and they went to the tournament 20 times or something? That's not easy to do. I think, generally speaking, he's been underappreciated, but I don't know if he's elite.
Talking with Brian Snow, a great Twitter follow. If you haven't made this move in your life yet, at bsnow247. I'll stay in the SEC, and I'll connect some dots, perhaps. Florida's a team that is trying to play its way back into the bubble and into the dance. Alabama, on the other hand, Brian, seems to be playing its way maybe a little more out of contention. And I'm curious what you think about Avery Johnson's future and some of the words that were attributed to Paul Feinbaum earlier this week as he was in Charlotte, same time as the NBA All-Star game, is that Avery Johnson's camp is curious what might be available for him in the association, and maybe not even as a head coach, but as the GM of the Pelicans. So what do you make out of his lot in life at Alabama and what might be next for him?
You know, certainly I can't speak to what Avery wants to do or not do with his future, but if his heart's in the NBA, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, not only you watch an NBA game, you watch a college game, they barely even resemble the same sport. I mean, it's just so different the way you have to do things in college versus how you can do them in the NBA. And then also, you, as a college coach, you're responsible for 18 to 22-year-olds, and if they decide to act like idiots on a Saturday night. Like, not everyone wants to be responsible for things you can't control. So I would totally understand if Avery Johnson says, you know what, this life is not for me. But in terms of wins and losses, I don't think he's in any grave danger or anything like that.
And look, I would agree with you there, but as a follow-up, what's your make on that job in general, Alabama basketball?
I think it's a solid job. The thing with the SEC is you kind of have an elite job in Kentucky, and then I think you have a bunch of jobs that are all kind of good, but not great, whether it's, you know, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, Alabama, even Auburn with their new facility and everything. You just have a lot of jobs that are like solid type jobs where you can win, but I think it is somewhat difficult to win consistently. So, but you can definitely get talent there. You have financial support. You're going to get what you want. I think there's a lot of things to like about the Alabama job.
Brian, without question, I'm doing a great job of bearing the lead. And, of course, that's UNC at Duke tonight in Durham, a game that's got tickets selling for upwards of $2,500. I'd love your breakdown of the Tar Heels and Blue Devils. I'll say this and then throw it to you, brother. I'm a little surprised that Vegas has this one as Duke by 9. Are you?
9 seems like a big number, but I will say I don't love the matchups North Carolina has in this one. You know, Luke May trying to guard Zion Williamson, it just doesn't seem like a good way to make a living to me. And then the way Duke can rebound, North Carolina's bigs are just not that good. Then, you know, can Kobe White handle pressure that Trey Jones is going to apply to him? It's interesting. I don't love this matchup for North Carolina in terms of personnel. Well, that certainly doesn't mean they won't win. But, you know, on paper, I look at them like, you know, Duke's strengths are kind of Carolina's weaknesses. So I don't love that, but, you know, but 9 does seem a little steep. I would probably, if I gambled on sports, which I don't, I would probably take the Tar Heels and hope they can cover.
I'm a little surprised that you're not taking an unofficial visit tonight, unless you are and I just don't know about it.
No, I'm sitting on my butt in Indianapolis right now. No unofficial visit for me. You know, you can't take an unofficial visit every weekend. You got to spread them out a little bit. You can only be so blessed in your life.
And sometimes you have to stay hashtag blessed in your own crib. All right, we're finishing up with Brian Snow, 247 Sports. I love dissecting the March merits, the March worthiness of contenders or maybe pretenders with you. So next I'm going to lob to you number 11, Marquette. And tonight they happen to be hosting Butler. But I guess what would you tell our listeners about Marquette? And when they see them as a 4-5 seed, something like that in March, how much should they or shouldn't they trust them?
Marquette is a dangerous team. They're not a team I trust. But the thing is I don't trust them in any way, good or bad, because here's what they have. They have Marcus Howard, who can always get you 30. And that's a great thing in March. But the problem is they can be really inconsistent. They don't have any way to score inside, and they rely so much on threes, where that means they could beat the one seed or lose to the 13 in the first round. They're a scary team to have, and they're a scary team to trust.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you put it that way and broke it down. Brian, thanks again for the time. Enjoy your basketball tonight. Enjoy time at the house. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Ben. I'll see you.
Brian Snow, college basketball recruiting analyst. And don't kid yourself, he is a straight-up college basketball analyst, even at that level, for 247 Sports. The guy's an absolute almanac for those that are just tuning in saying, where's this interview coming from? Where did we find this guy? I'll tell you, I found this guy as I was working at the time for Scout as the publisher of the LSU site. He was one of the lead dogs for Scout's coverage of college recruiting on the basketball side and then the college level itself. I went to cover the NFL scouting combine in Indy one year. As he just told you, dude's living in Indy, and he introduced me to snow on the side of the street when it's really not sexy. And that's the first time in my life I had seen snow that really kind of was grungy, and I didn't like it. So we did other things together. We went and watched basketball. The guy is an almanac, and he knows of what he speaks. Very, very connected. So we appreciate him coming aboard and spewing some of that college basketball knowledge. Quick break. When we return, final segment of the 4 o'clock hour. Don't forget, Shay Dixon. Go 247 Sports. We're going to be talking LSU recruiting. Two commits in the last 5 days for the class of 2020. Shay will be with us at 5:05. You're locked into Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Just about all basketball so far. Yeah, we'll keep that going. Talk about the LSU game on the hardwood tonight, but we'll also dip into baseball as well. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, LSU hosting Florida, looking to win their 15th game in 16 tries. Tip-off from the PMAC 6 o'clock pregame show at 5:30. Clint and I are going to lead you right there. And we can also take your calls. You want to get back in your sink or swim question of the day in honor of UNC at Duke tonight. What is your bucket list sporting event / game to attend? We've already had another response. Scotty on Twitter, he said he's not necessarily a huge fan, but somewhere in the long list he said would be a whiteout game at Penn State. And so to my guy out there who always shows up at the tap room, one of our good friends of the program, hashtag we are. There you go. You can feel a little better about yourself. But we'll take some of your calls as well. Bucket list sporting event / game. 706-0111. Okay, I mentioned baseball. We'll get there right now. Both LSU and UL heading up north. And the weather should be okay in terms of precipitation. Might be a little on the cold side. Might not be a lot of fun to swing the bat. But LSU tonight at Northwestern State should be okay, at least when it comes to the dryness factor. And it should be all right as well, as UL is up at Louisiana Tech. Clint, give me a quick drop. What do we have as far as the pitching matchup goes, UL at Louisiana Tech?
Yeah, the Cajuns are going to be sending out a freshman, Jacob Schultz. He actually pitched over the weekend. I believe it was in Saturday's loss to Texas. Had a couple of shutout innings. Definitely a guy that you need to keep an eye on as a potential midweek starter. I'm definitely interested to see what he's going to wind up doing against La Tech. And then the Bulldogs, they'll be sending out Matt Miller, who is 0-1 of the year already.
LSU at Northwestern State. We'll get back to that after we take a call. Let's get out now to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Dusty, welcome in. How are you?
What's happening, my man? Listen, I'm going to go a little bit south with the question of sporting event, but Man, give me WrestleMania in the Dome anytime, dude. The crowd atmosphere just for that, it's incredible.
Now, to make sure, we're talking Superdome, right?
Yeah, in the Superdome. Give me that any day. I haven't been to it yet, but, man, the crowd experience from what I've seen, man, there ain't nothing like it.
There we go. Dusty's weighed in. We appreciate the call. CD, can you speak to that? Have you been to WrestleMania in New Orleans?
No, I have not, and that's a big reason why I didn't put it on the bucket list. One, because I would have probably gotten a text from one of our coworkers who constantly rags me about the fact that WrestleMania was 3 hours away and I haven't been.
Yeah, that's kind of on you.
Yeah, oh, trust me. I know it's all of you.
Not going to lie to you.
We've discussed this many times.
It is, and to say that New Orleans is 3 hours away, you must be one of those people that's taken I-10.
Yeah, but you never
know. It's a rookie mistake and you hate to see it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a rookie mistake, but hey, sometimes it is what it is.
I'll tell you this. Now that I have married into a family that lives on the West Bank of New Orleans, it makes my decision just a little bit easier. But yeah, if I'm going to New Orleans, by and large, your boy is taking Highway 90. Just saying. That could become Sink or Swim Part 2. How are you getting to the Big Easy? And could you call Clint and tell him exactly how the WrestleMania experience is? Because he doesn't have the chutzpah to go when it's only 2 hours away. All right, we mentioned LSU at Northwestern State, and one of the adjustments that I believe is going to be made to the pitching lineup tonight, because I'm so sorry. Now I get to correct myself. How did you let me go this far? You're the ultimate corrector. This game's going to be replayed on March the 12th. So the first start for Eric Walker is going to be delayed.
Yeah.
I think you just like watching me twist at this point.
Well,
correct me if I literally mispronounce a word.
Yeah.
I mean, if I fart and the mic is off and we're not on air, you say, Ben, are you sure you wanted to do that? But I literally talked about a game that no longer exists tonight, and you didn't think that was a good opportunity.
Well, like I said, whenever I'm on the phone getting people on the line, I don't necessarily get to catch it right away, and you were kind of getting back into it. I'm like, oh, wait, you need to kind of check yourself real quick.
And for what it's worth, that last part was a joke. Yeah. There's no farting allowed in the 237 Roof Studios.
Yes.
Can't have it. After Chet left, just a hard line there. We're not allowing it anymore.
Can't do it, won't do it.
Can't win with them, won't win with them. Call in, hopefully not about farts. 706-0111. I'm just going to take my paper here and put a line through LSU at Northwestern State. That's not a thing that will happen tonight. But UL at Louisiana Tech is, you mentioned Jacob Schultz going tonight, and I had a couple of long conversations earlier today with some diehard Cajuns fans and people who are out there, I would say true blue, but true vermilion and white, every single game. The takeaways from Dalton Horton's start were incredible. I think people wanted a little bit more out of Brandon Young, but something tells me, and picture Lady Justice, right, that's got scales on either arm, something tells me that this could balance out a little bit. In other words, don't get too down on Brandon Young, the 6'6", 210 JUCO pitcher from Howard College and the start he had Saturday. Don't allow yourself to get too down there if you're a Cajuns fan. And I say this without trying to denigrate the young man, but don't get too up just yet, I think, on the Dalton Horton start. He's got tremendous stuff. The pedigree going to TCU is incredible. But from everything I was told in the preseason and the lead up to this past weekend, they want to see him battle a little bit harder and coming back from injury. So, again, as far as the two transfers, one from TCU, one from Howard College. One was good, one was bad this weekend, but it's possible they could meet in the middle a little bit. The other two starters, and here's where I'm going to connect it to Jacob Schultz, or I should say two guys who have started in the past. Brock Batty, phenomenal Saturday in relief of Brandon Young and helping to rescue a game that at least gave the Cajuns a chance late. And so he kind of inserts his name back in there as somebody potentially to be considered as a starter moving forward. And then Jack Burke, who, again, kind of was on the same side as Brandon Young this past weekend at the Teague. Not quite what you want to see, and I don't know that he's quite right yet from injury. So here's my point. Outside of Gunnar Leger, what you're looking for right now, consistent performers that you can line up on Saturday and Sunday. Four guys had opportunities this weekend. Early report cards, good for Dalton Horton and Brock Batty. Early report cards, early returns, not quite as good for Brandon Young and Jack Burke. Enter Jacob Schultz. And Clint mentioned, had an opportunity to throw this weekend and look good. Now he's got an even bigger chance to start on the road at a place where it's not easy to play, where the offense is usually pretty good for Louisiana Tech. So a big-time opportunity tonight, Raging Cajuns up in Ruston to take on Louisiana Tech. And, yeah, for that ball game, all indications are, knock on wood, shouldn't have issues with the weather, should be able to get it in just fine. As far as that imaginary ball game that I tried to conjure up, again, LSU at Northwestern State has been not canceled but postponed. It's been moved back to March 12th, 6 p.m. first pitch. So, yeah, Eric Walker going to have to wait just a little bit longer for that initial start. But I don't have to wait any longer right now. I got time for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Glass, in particular, the offensive glass. LSU has a chance to win this thing tonight with offensive rebounding. It's a skill of theirs. In fact, as I told you earlier, they've been elite at it, eighth in the country at grabbing available offensive rebounds. And they do it not just with one player. Big B Williams, Days, Williams, Reed. They come at you in droves, and that's where they've got a chance to separate and get this W tonight. Again, you're just tuning in. The Gators, 288th in Division I with defensive rebounding. Some think it's a trap game. Hey, I get it. Tennessee coming to town on Saturday, and that formula didn't work out well for Kentucky last week. Will Wade, LSU, they've got a chance to show that they're locked in, they're focused. If they get a dub, it's most likely because they did damage on the offensive glass. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home tonight on Maurice Avenue. 30 minutes to go. Shea Dixon going to lead us off at 5:05. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Off and running. Here we go. Hour two of two. And it's a hump day Wednesday, February 20 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And boy, we better keep it brief. We don't have a lot of time. Our show cut in half today. No full three-hour tour, only an hour and a half. That means we have less than 27 minutes to go. Don't forget, on the other side, going to take you to Baton Rouge. Florida at number 13, LSU. Tigers looking to win 15 of their last 16 ball games. And so at 5:30, it'll be Chris Blair, John Brady, the pregame show, 6 o'clock tip between the Gators and the Tigers. And I've told you, before we bring on Shea Dixon to talk recruiting, biggest key to the game for LSU, they've got a chance to exploit an advantage on the offensive glass. Florida, among the worst teams in Division I basketball at defensive rebounding. But where Mike White's team is extraordinarily strong is on defense. They feature a 1-2-2 press. They try to muck the game up. They want it to be played into the 60s, low 70s. LSU will want to ramp it up, high 70s and more. But again, this Florida team, second-best defense in the SEC, at least in terms of scoring defense. So a bit of a clash of styles tonight inside the PMAC. LSU looking to get to 22-4 overall, 12-1 in the SEC before the fifth-ranked Tennessee Vols come to town on Saturday. So this probably our final opportunity to preview LSU Florida. Wanted to give you the drop there. On the other side of our next break, oh yeah, we'll throw shade Pittsburgh Steelers football. We're not done with you yet. But that's future talk. Right about now, it's what you look forward to, just usually on a Tuesday.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
It's time for Shea Dixon of Go 247.
Our man, he's back from a hiatus. He is here, and we are going to bring him out. Shea Dixon, go247.com. Shea, fantastic to have you. I know it's Wednesday, different vibes here, but LSU baseball, they at least parted the seas for us to do this segment today. I'll be thankful for that.
Oh, well, absolutely. Hey, they got a win. We were off the air, but we're back. I agreed in principle, in terms, over the phone to show up today, and now I have delivered. I am the anti-Le'Veon Bell. I am showing up to campus.
I love that. And now I feel like management ownership at the Padres because I brought in my little local Manny Machado. All right, let's get to some of the recruiting. Huge junior day weekend for LSU this past weekend, and it yielded fruit in the form of two 2020 commitments. Let's go chronologically, Shea. Saturday, a commit from D-tackle Jordan Berry. What do you know about him? What do you like about him?
Yeah, this is a kid that one time he was ranked initially in the top 50 prospects in the country when 24/7 did a kind of a way too early look at 100 guys back when he was about to be a sophomore. So this is someone who's been on the scene for a while, playing at Narbonne out in California. And I know that he's a big defensive lineman. I know that he's still 16 years old, so even as a junior, he's young and certainly has a lot of room left to develop his game. But we know that they were going to add as many defensive linemen as they could. Getting Jordan Berry to campus from California on an unofficial visit was a big deal, right? He paid his own way. They got to see him in person, chat with him, and said, look, we want to go ahead and lock him up. So they did just that. And it's a big push from LSU in California now with two of the 11 kids who are committed are from California, which is a lot in any class, no matter if there were 25 of them already committed, to have not just one but two, and Elias Ricks being the other, a five-star number one corner. And I think that we're seeing right now the fruits of kind of Ed Orgeron's labor in Southern California when he was the head coach and on staff at USC. And we don't forget that multiple members of this LSU coaching staff, Tommy Robinson, James Craig, we're at USC with Orgeron, have ties to the area. And Bill Bush has a lot of ties to the area, and he's been recruiting California pretty heavily, maybe more than any staff member. So put all that together, and I guess when you throw in that they went to a New Year's Six Bowl and won and played out west, I'm not shocked that, you know, LSU's being tossed around with some of the top names in California.
I will fast forward from Saturday to Sunday in terms of commitments, and this one really felt like a rainmaker. A lot of LSU fans excited about him. Defensive end Alec Bryant. And look, don't make the mistake. You pronounce it like a C, like Alec Baldwin, like Alec Box Stadium. Tell us about Alec Bryant and why this one has really elicited the response that it has.
Because it's more edge rush D linemen, right? And they've got a handful of interior guys. I think they've been looking to add some of these, whether it's a 3-4 end or a stand-up guy, some of these edge rushers, and he fits that bill and had offers from everybody. A lot of people thought he would wind up at Oklahoma, and he came through for a visit and went ahead and committed before leaving campus. This was one that they want to get into the state of Texas, Ben, and really do some damage where they can. And with Texas and A&M both being good, both having new coaching staffs and some kind of new blood, has certainly built them up, and I know that A&M, Texas played really well, went to a Sugar Bowl and won, and A&M had a little bit better of a season than I think people would have thought initially. But point being, Ed Orgeron's going to try to swing back as much as he can in the state of Texas, and they've already got a couple of commitments out of the Lone Star State, and I'm not going to be surprised if they add two, three, four more down the line and really make a bigger splash in Texas than they did in 2019.
Talking out with Shea Dixon, go247.com, and you need to go there for the latest on the junior day weekend that did give us two commits when you look at the conversation we're having now. Any other big takeaways that you would add to the weekend that was over in the capital city?
Well, I think the biggest thing was getting so many kids to campus. They probably had 50-plus kids from the 2020 class to 21 to 2022. I mean, even out of the Acadiana area, Fitzgerald West, the young defensive lineman, was at Junior Day as part of just a handful of 2022 kids. So it's kind of their head's chance to get a head start on not just Louisiana for now, but Louisiana for later and these next two cycles, and then the surrounding states. I know I mentioned a couple kids from California came in, but this was heavy on Texas, Georgia, certainly the state of Alabama had a bunch of kids there who had offers and picked up offers while on campus. So I thought it was over. It's what you want from a junior day. You get a couple commits out of it, you get some new offers out, and you kind of put yourself face to face with these guys and their families to try to kickstart some momentum, if you will, into the spring.
Shea, you and I have talked before about needs for this class, and when you look at what they're doing right now, I guess with the two commitments added over the weekend, LSU currently the number one class in the country for 2020. But let's dive back into needs and the job they're doing currently addressing them and what that leaves going forward in this cycle.
Well, the biggest storyline of National Signing Day usually leads to what becomes the biggest priority in the next class, right? Like everybody 2 years ago talked about how they missed on Surtain and Mario Goodrich, and they needed corners. They'd only signed Kelvin Joseph. And this cycle, it was missing on some defensive linemen late. And they added Desmond Little on signing day. And of course, they signed Joe Evans and Apu Aika in December. But they wanted more, and they were shooting for more. And Ed Orgeron preaches all the time about the trenches, right? So that means getting more defensive linemen in the fold, and we've seen it. We just talked about two guys who committed. They already had Jaquel and Roy, the top defensive lineman in Louisiana, on board. They also have Cameron Jackson out of North Louisiana on board coming out of Haynesville. So they've addressed early some defensive linemen, right? They've got four, but they're going to get up into that 6-7 range, maybe more, of defensive linemen slash outside linebacker edge rusher types in this class because it's their biggest focus. And then I think beyond that, knowing you're losing Burrow, you went through a year with only Burrow and Brennan, you need quarterbacks, and they signed one in Peter Parrish, and they got a four-star out of last cycle, but that meant really reloading this cycle, and they've already got their two quarterback commits in T.J. Finley and Max Johnson. So far, I think if you point to sort of the two biggest needs you had, you've already addressed them, or at least you're well on your way to it. And I think that's a positive and a big reason why they have the number one class.
You and I have talked also about the idea that 2020 in-state isn't what 2019 was, and it's not exactly a bumper crop year, save a certain position or two. And again, we talked about that on our show, On the Trail. May God rest its soul. But we'll bring it now to B2BS, Bumper to Bumper Sports. You still feeling that way? And if it's not going to be heavy or as heavy in Louisiana this year, as far as LSU's commitment, ultimately the signing class, where else might they have to go?
Well, right now they're sort of going all over. I mean, to see them go to California and into Texas and into Georgia, and they've offered a bunch of kids, really, not only just in the Southeast, but they hit Washington, D.C. hard and offered double-digit guys. They've been in the Midwest a good bit. So I think they're trying to test out the brand, right? How much of a national reach can you have being the program you are right now? And I think it's a big one. So we're going to see them go all over the country. And I'll say this, I don't think that Louisiana, it doesn't have the top-heavy talent that we are maybe normally used to. So, like, for instance, the Stingleys and Emerys of the world aren't walking around in the 2020 class. He's like, no doubt about it, day one impact starters for you, if you will. But I think that what it lacks sort of in super top-end, five-star, you know, even top 100 talent, you've got a bunch of guys who are in that four-star range who are very solid players who are going to have SEC offers, and that's going to get into the 15, 16, 17. So I think that in terms of numbers, they always get into the double digits. I'd expect LSU to sign double-digit Louisiana guys, but I'm not going to be surprised if it's on the low end of that, even if that means it's 10.
Shea, we don't have time to officially flip the script today. Thank you, LSU basketball, but we will plagiarize a bit from – frankly, a question that you asked me maybe a month or two ago within this segment, right? Within this weekly hit, you've asked me for like some bucket list sporting events. I repurposed that. I used it today in honor of UNC Duke. And so last time you asked me that question, this time I'll ask you. And we'll stay maybe more on the college side. Again, UNC Duke being kind of the driving force here. What's a bucket list game that you haven't attended yet that you want to?
Oh man, well, I'd say basketball or football, right? Like, in if I were to say baseball, I'd pick LSU, so that's already checked off the list. I will say this, the younger me would have copped out. I would have said Duke, North Carolina, and that being at Duke, I would have wanted to see that. Now, I'll pick something that's a little bit more sexy for me. I want to pick the Rose Bowl. I want to see USC, right? I want to see USC in LA against a good team. So LSU out there would be cool to see. That might top my list if we're going college right now. That's the one stadium I haven't been to. And I haven't been to the Big House at Michigan or Ohio State, but I think I would pick sunny California over those. So I'll go USC versus someone that's good, Ben. Anyone, I don't really care.
Which presumably would rule out UCLA. So you can't get their rivalry game there, but USC versus somebody good in the Coliseum, that's a heck of a pick. So I like the way you're going there. Shay, I like the direction we're heading as well. We'll try to get another go in next Tuesday. We'll see if we remember what that day feels like.
Perfect. Sounds good, Ben.
It's funny how we get older and then our dreams are no longer our dreams, or at least they shift for different reasons. Shay said, I would have copped back in the day to UNC Duke. You would wonder, how does that ever go away? Well, that's because now he wants to go out to the West Coast. He wants a more exotic location to enjoy the game and then everything that goes with it with the stay. Yeah, I get it. I was recently in South California. I get it, brother. Our dreams, they just change. They evolve. All right, we got to hit our final break of the show. When we return, time to throw a little bit of shade. Pittsburgh Steelers, we're not done with you yet. We'll be right back in. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Twenty minutes after 5 o'clock, back in one final time. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And a bit of interesting news. These are rumblings that I heard earlier this morning. They have now been confirmed both by the coach and apparently his new school. Chad Mahaffey, who's been the head coach for UI football the last 9 seasons. He's won 3 state titles, including the last 2 years at the Division II level, is leaving the U-High Cubs to become the next head coach of Walker High football. Get used to the names Jalen Cook, who just finished his junior year in football and is a junior on the basketball court right now, and then Brian Thomas, a year younger. They're both phenomenal basketball players who have a chance to be high D1 football prospects. In fact, Nick Saban's already come sniffing around that program, and they haven't even had a full-time head coach. Now, it appears that guy will be Chad Mahaffey. So, pretty big shakeup. STM, Turley's Catholic fans, you've kind of looked up a little bit at the ladder at U-High's program. Let's just be honest. And look, no slight to the Cougars. They absolutely played one of the most competitive state championship games I've ever seen this year and could have beaten a U-High team that had kids go to A&M, Clemson, Bama, Arizona State, just a juggernaut when it comes to in-state talent. And then Jim Hightower's group won a championship a few years back. But U-High has been the gold standard at that classification. Moving forward, might that change? I think so. STM's got a real opportunity. Evangel now going to be in that bracket as well. But some interesting news, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it tomorrow and Friday. Chad Mahaffey leaving what I think many believed was the best team in the state last year, for most of the year at least. Zachary closed strong. A couple others did as well. John Curtis. But U-High's Chad Mahaffey is now going to be Walker High's Chad Mahaffey. All right, enough of that. It's time for your daily reminder. Really, it's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the professionals at Patio Center. Go to the website. Check out the inventory at patiocenter.com. The retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and those are just tip of the iceberg inventory materials. Really, you can choose your own path, and they're going to help you to do that. It starts top down with the management. Mark and company at Patio Center are going to help you to execute a vision and even create it. And then you can also trust their professional installers inside your home. They are the kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
The Pittsburgh Football Steelers. Nothing has been easy for them, fun for them, over the last few weeks, especially not the last few days. Now, the news of the day is that Le'Veon Bell, he is free. The Pittsburgh Steelers earlier today announced that they're going to decline any tags on him, specifically the transition tag, and that means that running back Le'Veon Bell is an unrestricted free agent, to which Bell responded on Twitter, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last," with several praying hand emojis after that. And what's funny is I picked out this topic, CD, before I even saw that news late this morning, early this afternoon. This is really some shade I've been holding in reserve from the weekend. But if you saw some of the stuff Antonio Brown had to say on Ben Roethlisberger, whoa, said that the Steelers quarterback has a quote-unquote owner mentality and that he rules the roost, not only in the huddle, in the locker room, that he acts as if he owns the team and you better act accordingly around him. And so a couple of interesting things come to mind for me. Is AB the only one that feels that way about what will probably be a Hall of Fame quarterback at the end of it? And is this more on Mike Tomlin for allowing a quarterback to potentially have that type of dominion over the rest of his teammates? But Antonio Brown, after that comment, somehow, some way, posted on Twitter yesterday that, well, he went and met with ownership. Seriously, went and met with Mr. Rooney. Said, "We discussed a lot of things. We cleared the air on several issues. We agree it's time to move on, but basically I always appreciate him." To which GM Kevin Colbert said today, "Antonio will not be discounted or released. The Steelers are a dumpster fire." Not to be confused with Alvin Gentry and the dumpster fire in New Orleans. The star running back is gone. An unrestricted free agent. Just walk already, would you? The star receiver says the quarterback has an owner mentality, says, "I actually met with the real owner. We're all good in the hood. I'm just leaving." And the GM says, "Well, maybe you aren't." What the hell is going on in the Iron City? Cannot predict a lot of football wins for that team next year. Just can't see that in the crystal ball.
Done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, guys. Met with the owner. We're good. I'm leaving. General manager, you're not leaving. Not if we don't get the type of return that we want and that we should. Incredibly toxic situation. I know. Only 90 minutes today for B2BS. But don't fret. We'll be back tomorrow live from the Tap Room River Ranch. Great guest list coming aboard. Hunt Palmer at 4:30 to talk LSU baseball. From 5 until 5:30, Jeff Horchek, KLFY, will be in live at the Tap Room. And from 6 to 6:30, my guy Brad Boyd, head basketball coach at Southside High, former Raging Cajun. He'll be out live at the Tap Room to talk high school basketball playoffs. We're going to have an awful lot of fun tomorrow, 4 to 7 p.m. Come check us out if you get a chance. Hey, that's tomorrow. As far as today, much appreciation to Brian Snow, college basketball recruiting analyst, and then Shay Dixon, LSU recruiting and beat reporter. Both of them work for 247 Sports. Both of them good enough to join us today in our 90-minute go. Florida at LSU is coming up next. Gators have won 2 in a row. Tigers won 4 straight and 14 of 15. This one ought to be a lot of fun from the PMAC. For the famous Clint D, I'm Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. Tigers, Gators, John Brady, Chris Blair, next on 103.7 The Game.